Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Graves, and ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny Beattie. Three of the European finalists are from the top 14 once again this season after another great weekend for the French sides, unless you're to lose, of course. And we'll be joined by an Englishman turning out for one of those victorious French clubs shortly to catch up on how everything's going for him. But we should also chat about the games a bit first. And you were all over them, Johnny. BT Saturday, Channel 4 Sunday. How was your weekend?
Slotting myself out, mate, everywhere. Yeah. No, I had a great weekend. Good weekend of rugby, bit of travel as well, like getting down to Lyon, and it was scorching. Like, it was 34, 35 degrees on the field. So I felt sorry for the players. Like, when you're down pitch side as well, like, it's a plastic pitch. There was no wind, so there was nowhere to hide. And like, I was doing a bit of stuff with TV and like went completely through my shirt, my trousers, my socks. Everything was absolutely rinsed. So the boys on the field, you forget what it's like in that type of heat, and you forget when you're tired just how painful it is. And you could see the pain they were going through. So it was great to be in Lyon. Witnessed a bit of history as well, their first final in a very, very long time. And then straight back up to Lens on the Sunday with the Channel 4 team. So with Brian Habana, Jamie Heaslip, Ed Jackson, Ollie Waterman. So no, really good.
Not just with them on the Sunday, with Dan Carter as well. Did he remember you?
No, didn't have a clue, mate. Unless he was running over me playing for Racing, I'd have been at Montpellier and Cass. No, good to see them all again. Habana and Carter over. I think they're doing work with MasterCard and ambassadorial stuff. But I think they were just chuffed to be out, to be honest, and to be back in Europe and to be enjoying a bit of rugby and catching up with mates. So the social aspect, because the rugby wasn't exactly spectacular.
I was going to say, people have been less than complimentary about that.
Have they? Have they?
Give us some insight. You were there. So it has been the way occasionally recently when two French teams have met in the Champions Cup. Is there something about it specifically? You mentioned the weather.
I think everybody know, and it's well known over in France, that the top 14 final is never a glamorous affair. And that's what the game on the Sunday was at the weekend. Racing is La Rochelle. It didn't look like there was too much game plan. It was just a case of who wants it more. And I think when you get two big French sides in knockout rugby, that's quite often the product you get. And so, yeah, it has been criticised. It wasn't the best spectacle. But being pitch side, like, some of the early physical stuff was almost horrible. It was that big. Like, watching Antonio run into Bernie Leroux, French teammates smashing into each other 100 miles an hour. And then there were some nice bits, some interplay, some trying to change the point of contact, some nuance. But again, it sort of descended into a bit of a mess. It was madness. But it was cool to be there nonetheless, like with all the fans, all the spectators, to be pitch side just to witness it was great fun. So I can understand the criticism, and that's probably why, in that it just becomes a bloodbath, an absolute who wants it more, who doesn't want to take a backward step, and game plans go out the window.
And you mentioned madness. Some people have pointed to the fact there was an English referee, Matthew Carley, who didn't speak perfect French. Some other English referees maybe speak better French. Luke Pearce, Wayne Barnes, who have been announced as the referees for the finals.
Yeah.
What do you make of both the language thing and Matthew Carley's performance in general?
I thought, you know what, given the quality of rugby and the product that he had, like, it was a mess. I'm not going to lie. So it's not easy for him, and especially in your second language. Again, in the exact same turn of breath, I think it's a positive that referees that do speak more fluent French have been appointed for both finals. I think that's fantastic. The fact that Both Barnes and Pierce have been appointed makes sense because they are terrific referees and they've got that turn of phrase and language and understanding. But at the weekend, for the one that Carly was criticised for, it was a bit of a mess of a game. I thought, given with what he had to deal with, he actually did a decent job. But obviously, if somebody can speak French, it's going to make it a little bit easier.
And aside from the language factor, when two French teams do meet in European competition, do you think we should be able to have a French referee just for the interpretations, especially at the breakdown? Maybe give us a better product if we did.
But you know what? There's positives and negatives. So I think generally in the top 14, when you're playing at home, you get more bias from a French referee. Whereas when you get somebody come in that's completely neutral, it's neutrally reffed. Maybe that's rude to say, but I think it's great to have somebody come in with maybe an international or a more global view of the game. But if they can, as we just said, if they can brush up on their French and add that to the repertoire, then it makes it even better.
If that one was a bloodbath, Dublin was a bit of a bloodbath for Toulouse, wasn't it? I mean, we talked about it last weekend. We thought they might struggle. Extra time the week before against Munster, a long old season, ups and downs for Toulouse. Was it just one step too far?
It was a massacre. I think everything we talked about, and we predicted Leinster winners, we talked before the game, I picked Leinster to win it easily, not as easily as we saw, to be honest. But I think when given context, there's a bit more understanding behind it. You know, Toulouse having 9 of their players away with the 23 with France, Grand Slam winners, but that means their game time's doubled. They'll be absolutely exhausted. The players themselves, you sort of get the feeling they're running on fumes. They are exhausted. The physical fatigue has set in. They're really just scraping along, trying to get to the end of the season. Again, we'll talk about the top 14 games they have left and if they can make the top 6, if they can finish, but just a step too far. Possibly if they'd been knocked out earlier, it would have helped them with their top 14 focus. But we talked about the quality that Leinster play with, the speed, the changing the point of contact. I mean, Toulouse defensively could not handle Leinster's attack. The ruck speed was phenomenal. And then you're just chasing shadows with the type of player that you're playing against. Conversely, Toulouse on the ball didn't really pose Leinster any threat. And we just saw Leinster honestly operating at a level that Toulouse weren't capable of competing with.
There's been a lot of talk this week about how it's going to be difficult in the next few years for English clubs to compete because of the salary cap being a bit lower. In France, it's still fairly high, although the budget that Leinster have and the squad they have is bigger. But is this Toulouse performance sort of a product of the way the season has gone?
They're victim of their own success, right? So like last year, finishing double winners, which means you're playing later than everybody else. You've got less for pre-season. Your prep is cut short. Then when international rugby kicks in, all of your best players are taken away and they're hammered. So that is where they are. They've got all the best players. They make up the mainstay of the French national side. And this is an extremely difficult season for them.
And if they hadn't lost so many games during that international period, perhaps their players would have been fresher because they would have got a rest over the past
couple of weeks. Exactly. They'd be cruising. I think that next year will be more simple for two. But there's other, it goes deeper, like key players retiring, Jerome Kano, Uge, that haven't been replaced. They're building something. Everybody's moving towards youth in the top 14, which is fantastic. I think this summer will be very telling for them as well in terms of A, recruitment, who comes in, and B, the real fact that a lot of the players will get the first real rest in a very long time. I hope for them as a club that the tour that France go on is a development tour to Japan, that they don't take out Antoine Dupont and all the big dogs again. And I think that the Toulouse players really need a rest, but they're victims of their own success.
Right, we'll come on to the Challenge Cup semi-finals shortly, but I've got a feeling one of them might feature in our meter moment of the week. So what have you got for us, Johnny?
Is that just because the Champions Cup wasn't particularly great, or?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
In a nutshell. So for me, easily the best moment of the week came from Challenge Cup rugby. Although the game in Toulon was fantastic, it was great to see them turning over Saracens and making another final. A very experienced Sarri side as well. But mine came from youth, mate, from youngsters in Lyon, still keen to chuck the ball around in what I felt was 35, possibly 45 degree heat. It was absolutely
humid. You were feeling it?
I was feeling it, mate. The Scotsman was in the shade, don't you worry. But Berdo, young 10 again, keeping Lima Sopawanga out of the side. And easily, you could be slowing the game down. You could be trying to hide. You're trying to get to a water break. But I think around 45, 50 minutes, the ball goes out and he chucks it back in quickly, which I was thinking, this is ridiculous. His forwards are going to hate him. But for what followed next, they will be delighted. Chucks the ball into Charlie Natai. Big step and a fend. A couple of those later, Marshawn Lick's back with Berdo, who started it all 60 metres earlier, and he goes under the sticks untouched. And I just thought, guts, daring, and a little bit of something different when you could have easily caved, take a knee or go to line out, And that's why this weekend's Meter Moment of the Week comes from Lyon and Leo Berdo.
That was Johnny's Meter Moment of the Week. And Meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 11 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can now get 20% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod20 at checkout. That's FrenchPod20, and you'll get 20% off any full-price item at meter.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That leads us in nicely, Johnny. You mentioned it. Lyon, a first major final since 1933 after they beat Wasps. And we can get our guest on now and have a chat about it. One of Lyon's history makers at the weekend, second row, Joel Kapoku, joins us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. And it's an absolute pleasure to be speaking to you guys.
Thanks for coming on. And Johnny was just talking about it. He was pitch side at the weekend, sweltering in the heat.
Yeah.
How was it for you?
Yeah, it was an incredible occasion, really. A packed out stadium with a load of loud, wearing Lyon fans. But, I mean, obviously, the first half didn't really go according to plan, where we kind of let Wasps into the game a bit with not being clinical and also a little bit of our discipline. But then second half, we kind of turned it around. But with the heat being involved as well, it didn't help. But no, very happy to obviously overcome the English. Yeah, no, it felt really good.
It must have done. On a personal note, it must be amazing. You've only had a few starts for the club, but 2 weekends ago, you are the man of the weekend in Rugbyrama. You're all over their website. This weekend, you're man of the match in a European semi-final against English opposition. So I'm assuming you're enjoying the club, and that must have been pretty special for you personally.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, the club have really, really, really integrated with me and made me feel as part of them for a long time. And I mean, for me, obviously, with that first game against La Rochelle back in December, getting injured in the 33rd minute, obviously, yeah, it set me back a long way, but finally back now, and thanks to the medical staff actually helping me and getting me back out there as early as they could. But I mean, yeah, all I'm doing is just trying to do what I can for the club, really, and just playing some rugby, which is obviously what I lacked previously, and yeah, just trying to basically get my name back out there, really, because I do think that I did go a bit quiet, so it's nice to finally be playing rugby and get noticed, really.
Johnny mentioned only a few starts, so it's weird asking you about the history element for Lyon when you've only been there a few months, but do you get a sense of it? Because a first major final since 1933, the club's not really done anything on the European scene before. Talk to us about what the fans were like, the celebrations, the sense that you get about what an achievement this is for the club.
Like I said before, I came in quite late, but then when I came in, we were still in the competition. So we actually played Dragons literally a week after I'd arrived. And from then on, we kind of had the belief that we could go all the way. And within the camp, we said that we could actually go on and achieve greatness. But that's only if we really stick together. And they've been chasing a feeling for some time to obviously create some history. For the club, it's huge. And with the fans, you could obviously see after the game, us getting applauded around the whole stadium. And yeah, it's just an incredible, incredible achievement for the club. But then again, we haven't achieved anything as of yet, because there's still one to go, which is next week against a strong Toulon side, who we obviously know, you guys must have seen the game again in the top 14, where they put 40 points in us at our own ground. So we've got some redemption on them. Should be a cracker against them next week.
And are you surprised that it's again? Obviously, you know the strength of Toulon. You mentioned that game, but a lot of people had handed the trophy to Saracens already. Like
yourself included, Tim, Daniel,
myself, oh, that's it. I was like, I saw them as, but they've just been, I mean, blitzed off. Again, Toulon is a bit of an anomaly because they're on one hell of a run. They had a really poor start to the season, injuries. Now they've got all the big dogs back and they're looking like a different kettle of fish. So you've got them to knock over if you're going to make history. So talk us through mentally what it's going to be like facing them. And also, you must have quite enjoyed the prospect of maybe winning a trophy playing in Saracens as well. So you're a little bit disappointed not to be playing against your mates.
Yeah, I mean, that is also something that I was really looking forward to because after our game, we were like, yeah, okay, let's get ready for Saracens now. But then obviously watching the game, it was like, wow, they've really been, like you said, blitzed off the park against a really good Toulon side who are on an incredible run. But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of animosity against this club, especially because our head coach is now going to them as well. So it's kind of like, okay, we've got a job to put on these guys. But I mean, I really did wish we were playing against Saracens, obviously. But then again, we're faced with Toulon in front of us now. So that's the game to play. And also, I also even had like a few like of the fans from Saracens, we'll see you in the final. But then it's like, okay, well, you're not there now. So
classic. And we've just been talking about how generally when French sides get to a final, whether it be top 14 final or Champions Cup, sometimes the rugby kind of goes out the window and it's just a bloodbath. Like it's a roll your sleeves up. So is that now what you're expecting with Toulon? Are you just expecting a massive scrap or should we expect a really good spectacle with some pretty rugby?
I'd say a bit of both. I'm hoping for a bit of both, especially for the spectators to obviously enjoy the game. But we know within ourselves that, yeah, it's going to be one of those games where fours are going to have to front up and really, yeah, roll our sleeves up and really go at them. Just like it's been, just like it is here in the top 14 in all the games, really. It's like you really got to roll your sleeves up. There's no really, it's not much fancy rugby except for Toulouse. But, I mean, it's a lot of, yeah, fronting up and hopefully we can do one over them.
And let's talk about your journey then, because you touched on it before. You moved to Lyon a bit late. I think it was November.
Yeah.
A lot of people were surprised to see you make the move over there. So just give us an insight into how it came about, whether it was quite a last minute thing, and what were the main kind of motivating factors behind the move?
Okay, so at the start of the season, so in pre-season against Bedford in the pre-season, I got injured. So I was out for a couple of months and coming back in, I just within myself, I kind of lost the love of the game because before pre that, I wasn't really getting much game time, wasn't really enjoying the rugby. And obviously there was also other things going on away from rugby, like in my personal life, that was kind of taken over, and basically contacted my agent and said, "Yeah, I want to leave." And yeah, Lyon thankfully came about and picked me up, and yeah, so that they actually came about in November, but then I moved out. I came across in December due to visa issues and all of that stuff. But it was fairly last minute, and it was like one where I was just like, because I was thinking of like kind of not to kind of stop him playing rugby just because there was like quite a lot of things going on and I was just kind of not really enjoying my time at the club at the time just because of the other things that were going on. So then, yeah, thankfully, Pierre and Jan, the president of Lyon, picked me up and brought me across and currently loving my time here. Honestly, like I couldn't thank them enough. And even the players as well, my teammates, like they've really integrated me and kind of made me feel as if, like, yeah, really welcome. And it's just like a great culture. And also, like, coming from Saracens, there was obviously going to be differences in terms of like the standards of like the rugby, the players obviously at the club as well, because obviously there's not many big stars like we had at Saracens before. So everyone's kind of like the same level in terms of like there's no hierarchy, there's no big dogs at the club, and everyone sees you as one of them. And that's what I really, really liked about this club, is that no one really isn't better than anyone else. It's like we're all trying to reach the same goal.
So reading between the lines, what you just said there is that Romain Taufifuna, Mathieu Bastro are really good blokes, and Owen Farrell and Atosia are bellends. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not. No, completely. Not along any of those guys, but I'm just saying in terms of what I've seen for myself in terms of like, because you know these players like the Maros, the Makos, the Billies, you know, like they're big dogs. They got countless caps for England, the British and Irish Lions. And as a young player, looking at those players, you're like, wow, these guys have made it, if you know what I mean. But then me coming to Lyon, it's like, yeah, you've got players that are made it in their careers, but they're not like, oh, I don't know. I really want to come across as the biggest. They don't come across as big-headed, if you know what I mean. Like, not everyone sees them as being these like massive players. So like, they're my teammates out there. We're all trying to reach the same goal, if you know what I mean. And also another thing, I can have conversations with these guys, whereas before it's like, kind of like, oh, how do I approach a big dog at my old club? Like, do I speak to him? Like, yeah, obviously I'm going to say hi to him and whatnot, but yeah, that's also something that I've loved about Lyon.
And Johnny, sometimes you do just need a change of environment as well, don't you? I mean, you've been Saracens from a young age. Sometimes just a change is as good as a rest, as they say. And hearing Joel talk then, it's refreshing to hear players speak about how things might just be not going right off the pitch and you need a bit of a change, because we're all human beings, aren't we?
And it's rare. Your situation's rare as well, because generally what would happen is a French or top 14 side would generally wait for a Mako or a Billy or an Owen to be established and have 50, 60, 70 caps and then pay over the odds to take a star. You know, what I really like is the fact that you've made your mind up. I want to try something different, a culture, an adventure, game time, like whatever it's been. But you're absolutely flying, because your performances, and again, it's all over French press, people back home that don't read French press, like, loved over here. You're playing really well every time you take the field. So it's wonderful. I wanted to go back a little bit and ask you a bit more about Saracens, because for Lyon to not take a risk, but to take a young guy they didn't know too much about and to give him that chance, and you're absolutely flourishing. Like, what was it that was sticking at Saracens? Why wasn't the game time coming?
To be honest, like, with the second rows that Saracens have got, like, I don't really like making it an excuse, but...
Tim Swinson, mate, I've played with Tim Swinson. You're better than Tim Swinson.
Yeah. But then Sarah's obviously thought differently, which I was about to say, like, maybe they didn't really trust me. Maybe I wasn't performing well. The second row options that they've got at the club is ridiculous. Like, it's incredible. But then again, it's more Saracens is a club where they're going back from winning everything. So obviously us obviously being relegated into the Championship, where it's like that first game against Cornish Pirates, they tested a team which didn't have international start, like the big international start, to then lose the game. And then it was like straight panic mode, you know, like kind of Saracens, we obviously can't stay in the Championship for another season. So he then obviously forced all the players back in that following week. But for me, I think it was more the trust. They potentially didn't have the trust in me. Maybe that's because of my performances, maybe the way I was handling myself around the training sessions, whatever the reason may be. But it was one where it was very frustrating for myself, because obviously the only way you're going to improve is by playing the top end games, not just playing the Premiership Cups, the A-League games. Like, I was patient because I had re-signed. So before I re-signed at Saracens, I was actually supposed to be leaving to go to Northampton. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that.
Yeah.
But obviously that came about because of the game time. And I was promised, because obviously we had got relegated, and also with Skelts and Cruzo leaving, they said, yeah, you'll get game time, because we're in a champ and whatnot. But then after that first game, having lost it, and also maybe with me not having the greatest of pre-season, actually, no, I'm not going to say maybe, I didn't have a good pre-season, shall we say, then the trust was just completely gone. But then for me, it was just kind of like, how can I gain that trust back? How can you guys trust me again without actually allowing me to prove myself again? Like I said, like, it's just one of those things where they just go off what they know is best and don't really like going outside of that system, really, or making too many changes, shall we say. It was frustrating. It was really frustrating. But like, it's one where, looking back on it, I'm kind of happy I've now moved on from there, because I definitely think I would have still been in that same position till this day. So yeah, now I'm once again thankful to Pierre for bringing me out, because he's been looking out for me since the 2018 World Cup against France. So he's been following me since then, and then finally, yeah, he's got his hands on me. So
he'll be taking his Toulon next, mate. Watch out.
Yeah, I mean, I've signed another 2 more years, so.
So hurt to you, but he's off. And so what's been the difference? Again, you talk about effectively the bottleneck of Saracens and internationals in front of you, but that's been the same case at Lyon. Like, you've got Romain Thao, who we just mentioned. Yeah. You've got Felix Lambi, you've got Guirassy. They're all French internationals, and they're decent players. Like, they are very, very good. So what has it just been given the nod of confidence and just taking your chance and running with it? The fact as well that you're obviously non-Gif.
Yeah,
the effect that you're having on the squad is such that you're playing ahead of GIF players that are French internationals, which is huge. So what has been the difference? Has it just clicked with Pierre? You've done exactly what you've been asked to do and you're flourishing, or where's the big difference been?
Do you know what? For me, was he's since the day I met him on Zoom, he's had belief in me. And then obviously then me coming in, he's always been straight up with me and been honest with me from the day dot. And I think for me, that's big, because like, even if I haven't been performing well, or well, got injured, obviously, whatnot, but even around the training center, he's been like really honest with me in terms of like, just asking questions about like, what I think about this, what I think about that. It's that trust that he's got in me and I've got in him. And I think that's maybe what I lacked in my previous club, that I didn't potentially have that relationship or that trust within me and my head coach, my post-head coach. And yeah, I mean, Pierre's been, he's been incredible. And like me playing ahead of these players, luckily I've been performing well, because obviously if I hadn't been, then he wouldn't have selected me. But just one way, I've just got to keep it consistent and keep my feet grounded and just keep going, really, and not get ahead of myself too much, because these players are obviously very good players, like you mentioned, and they would be coming for me, shall we say, because obviously they can now see that I'm performing well and whatnot. So it's just about, yeah, like I said, just, I think it's the trust between me and Pierre, the relationship that we've got. Maybe that's why it's clicked for me.
It's worked out perfectly, because Leon needed someone in November and you obviously went to your agent and said what's out there. It'd be really good to find a new environment. But when you were having that chat with your agent, were there other offers in England? Were there other offers maybe in Super Rugby or in Japan? Or what was the conversation like?
Apparently there were talks with, he said that Bath were interested, but obviously at the time, Bath weren't doing too great. So then that was kind of one where I was like, no, because I'm a type of person, I don't really like stepping out of my comfort zone. And me moving to France was completely out of my comfort zone, like especially moving out alone. Like doing everything alone, basically, like living alone at the moment as well. And I was just kind of like, oh, is there any clubs in the UK, for example, that are like keen to bring me on board? He said Bath. And I was like, nah, I'm not really wanting to. So nothing against Bath, but it's just, I wasn't wanting to go to the club. And then obviously Leon. And then I was like, you know what? I may as well. Like, this is a one in a lifetime, like chance that I probably will never get it again if I hadn't taken it. So kind of that leaped at the opportunity, really, and yeah, I find myself here now.
And when you've now been in both camps, you've been in the Saracens environment, you've seen Leon, there's been a lot of chat recently about Premiership salary cap reducing. And we see already this year, there's no finalists from England. When you see the quality that Leon have, when you took the bench you guys had at the weekend, which was absolutely loaded, do you think it's going to become harder and harder for Premiership sides to compete with top 14 than your likes of Leinster?
Yeah, I mean, looking at Leinster's performance against Toulouse, I mean, they were incredible. But going back to that, yeah, I do think it will, just because they won't be able to bring in like these players, or shall we say, sign any big names because of the salary, unless they got rid of loads of young talents that obviously are coming up from their academy systems, which obviously wouldn't be a good look on the clubs. Definitely can't see the Premiership competing with the top 14 sides, like just because of money. Like, because money, I mean, it doesn't like buy happiness, but without it, you can't really get these big names, if you know what I mean. And potentially, you could potentially get a lot of players leaving as well the Premiership to go into these better leagues, if you know what I mean.
And you mentioned it was about as out of your comfort zone as you can get moving to France. Johnny obviously knows what it's like moving over to a different country, different language. Just give us an insight into what it's been like for you as a young guy moving over there and what the big challenges are, whether they're on the field, training, coaching differences, or whether it's just off the field.
I mean, luckily for me, I'm already a French-speaking background. I've got a French-speaking background from my mum and dad. They're both from Congo, which is their first language. So I've been speaking French from basically since I was born. And that's also what made my decision a lot easier to also come out, because if I hadn't knowing the language, and I would have been quite hesitant to come out. But in terms of like the challenges away from the field, yes, there has been quite a few, especially with the admin side of things. That being setting up my bank, getting a phone contract out here, but then just trying to get things done with the French guys can be very, very tricky. I mean, I'm sure, Johnny, you'd know about it, right?
No, don't know what you're talking about. But that's the thing. You arrive as a fluent French speaker and it's still hard for you. So can you imagine for everyone that comes from other parts of the world that arrive and then they're like, what is going on? And then you've got the French language on top. So you've just hit the nail on the head. Even for a French speaker, fluently from birth, getting shit done is hard over here, but it's just the way it is.
Honest to God, like when I came over, because obviously Lima and Jordan were the first guys that I kind of knew from the Premiership playing for Leicester and Wasps. They were like, mate, good luck with the admins. I was like, what are you talking about? I'll be all right. And then, yeah, I then went to the bank to try and get my card sorted. I had to then go back about 3 times because it just wasn't processing. And then that also took another 2 months for my card to then arrive. And then like my Wi-Fi, like and just sorting other things out like in my place. Like even I hadn't had hot water in my apartment for 2 weeks. To getting a plumber out was taking so long, and they weren't answering my phones. I had to contact the agency. I wouldn't say it's getting better because that's an absolute lie, but I'm kind of getting used to it, if you know what I mean. I'm kind of getting used to how they work.
It's a different pace, shall we just
say.
Yeah,
a different pace, yeah. It's one that I was not used to at all, because obviously in England, things are done fairly quickly to come here. But no, it's other than that, no, like I've completely loved my time here. Like the city itself is amazing. Like the food is a different level, like complete different level. And yeah, the people itself as well. Can be miserable, shall we say? Can be miserable, but if you give them a smile, then hopefully you can crack one out of them as well. So,
mate, you're staying. You've just described all the best bits. You've been caught hook, line, and sinker. You're not going back home. I was going to ask you if you were thinking of a move back to Premiership. Do you want to play international rugby? But you're top 14 till you die. We've decided.
Yeah, I mean, that was what a lot of people have been asking me. Like, do you see yourself going back? And I said, like, I'm still 22 years of age. Like, at the moment, this is me gaining as much experience as I can playing, shall we say. And like I've signed, 3 years here. So whatever happens at the end of those 3 years, if Lyon want to keep me on, then that would be a conversation to have then. But I can't see myself going back to England anytime soon. And internationally, like I kind of gave up on that because like Eddie Jones kind of has his team set for the World Cup. And like he knows who he's going to be taking. But then even after that, like I wasn't playing much rugby for him to even pick me. So I need to get as much games under my belt. But before that, like I'm not really concentrating on the international side of things. I just want to play rugby.
You've still got 3 World Cup cycles to aim for after that. Like I wouldn't worry. Like you've got a European final up against Eben Etzebeth in a week's time. Like there's plenty of time. You'll have your time. Don't worry about it at all. You've got a long old time to get back into Tash rugby, 100%.
But you mentioned Eddie Jones. You did train with England back in 2018, didn't you?
Yeah. I did post the World Cup, the Junior World Cup.
How weird is he? Give it to us straight.
not to bad Malcolm or anything, but he was nice to me. Although when I first arrived, because of the World Cup, I was like 126 kg. Very overweight, should we say. Coming into the camp, I'd like lost quite a bit of weight. And he's like, basically straight up to me. I didn't know the man. He didn't know me. Straight up came up to me and said, you were fat, weren't you? I was like, just kind of laughed because I felt really awkward. He's like, yeah, you was quite a fat lad, weren't you? I was like, yeah, like, what do I say to that? I'm not fat now. You know, but he's very, very different. Very different. I've never had a coach like, been coached by someone like him before. Keeps you on your toes, should we say. I know that's like what the generic thing that everyone says when they speak about Eddie Jones, but he does definitely keep you on your toes, and you've got to kind of be very alert and your eyes wide open when you're around him.
And that experience in 2018, a lot has changed since then, but did that kind of give you an insight that you weren't ready, or he didn't think you were ready, or how did it go?
In the camp, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say I was ready for international level because the pace and speed of everything was incredible. And even just the intensity of it was like, I was, fairly behind, like going in at 20 years of age and whatnot. But I was definitely off the pace. But for me, looking back on it, it was a great experience, like to know where I'm at, and obviously not being at that level as of yet, to then going back to my club where obviously I still hadn't played, which I was hoping I had, but it was one where I knew what I had to do to get to that level in terms of like getting to where all those stars are, because obviously I had played with a lot of them already at Saracens anyway. So just taking bits and bobs from those guys, especially Marish, because we're in the same position.
And you mentioned that Bath was an option. Was it not tempting? I know it's a short period of time if you look back to November between then and the next World Cup, but we see players coming fresh into that England squad and getting given opportunities, they might not last long, but they do get opportunities. So was it not tempting to take another English offer with that international recognition in mind?
No, not at the time, because like I mentioned before, like I just wanted to get out of the country, like because of everything that was going on, I just kind of wanted to get away from everything. And yeah, no, it didn't really tickle me to stay in the UK, especially in the Premiership, where I know I would have played against Saracens at some point again, or even seen them again, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to get far away from England. But who knows, I'll stay in France for 4 or 5 more years and hopefully see what happens with the French international.
Another one. We've converted another one. Right, so now that you're here, and you've had experience of the Prem, you've been through that environment, you're now top 14. What do you see as the biggest differences culturally, the way teams play, intensity? How would you compare the two leagues?
Premiership, as you know, a lot of kicking, especially when we play against these English sides, like when, for example, Wasps on the weekend, a lot of kicking. The top 14, I'd say, is more, it's more brutal through the, it's like more of a forwards game where it's like both packs going head to head with each other and see who comes out on top, really, especially with the, shall we say, the scrums, the line up set piece, for example. It's like that's where you know, that's where you can test yourself to see who's actually got the balls here, shall we say. And like even training with Lyon, it's like it's very weird because being at Saracens, it was like very technical in everything they did. And they come into Lyon, it's like they speak about the mindset more often than the technical side of things. Obviously, yeah, there is some technical side, but it's definitely more mindset and mentality over the technical element of things. But the Premiership, yeah, there's a lot of kicking involved with that. And then it's just a lot more faster than the top 14, I see. But I kind of suit the top 14 because it's not as quick. And I like that confrontational side of things where it's like hitting it up square, like running like square on and, yeah, just tackling low and carrying hard and, yeah, all of those stuff.
You mentioned that style and how you suit the top 14. I'm interested because there were comparisons again at the weekend between yourself and, you mentioned it before, Mario Itoje. I don't know whether that's because obviously you're the same position, you come through at Saracens, England under 20, et cetera, et cetera. But it was not the first time. People have compared you for years.
Yeah.
Do you take that as a compliment or does it annoy you?
To be honest, it pisses me off. Like, it really rattles me. Like, sorry to swear, but it really, really rattles me. Because, like, I've had it, yeah, for so long, like you mentioned, since I was at Saracens as well. But then I've even moved from Saracens. Like, he's not even a teammate of mine anymore. And I'm still getting compared to him. And I'm trying to create my own legacy, really. Like, I don't want to keep going back and looking at my, like, Twitter and seeing, like, oh, he's likened to be like a Marin. So I was like, no, I'm Joel Pope. Like, I'm not. I guess because we're both of colour, I'm from Saracens as well, come through the academy and whatnot. So it's easy for the media and the press to kind of compare us. But, it really rattles me. Like, it's just, like, I'm not Marin. Like, I'm Joel Pope. Like, I'm trying to create my own name and create my own style of rugby. I know, yeah, there could be some similarities, but then it is what it is, but I'm not Marrow.
Do you think it's a lazy comparison? Because there are obvious differences. Yeah,
massively. It definitely is. Just because we're both of colour. And I'm from Saracens and he's at Saracens, come through the academy. And we're both tall, second rows as well, like you mentioned. And it just rattles me all the time. Like, really, really rattles me.
Like, the laziness I get, but there are certain parts of your game that I believe already are world class, having watched you play 4 or 5 times. And as much as part of it might be lazy, part of it is also because you both operate at an extremely high level. So there's the lazy aspect, but then there's also, you talked about the technical bit, which may be different, but there's a mentality bit that is difficult, more difficult to see. But there's not many boys that come over here and in 5 or 6 games light it up the way you're doing. And I think that's why people are getting excited. And he's the closest comparison, whether it be lazy or not. But there's an element to it as well that we're also fucking kicking ass and doing something phenomenal in one of the toughest leagues in the world, which is why people are really excited. And the laziness I get, like, park that bit as crap journalism, but the other part is they're excited to see another potentially world-class second rower from England, but playing in the south of France, which for us is even cooler.
For me as well, like, it does add fuel to my stomach, really, when I'm like compared to him, because let's be honest, like, I want to surpass everything he's done.
You have to take his spot, mate.
Like, yeah, exactly. I need to take his spot because he's still a young, like, still young. But for me, like I said before, I want to create my own legacy and my own name for myself. And
of course.
To not really always be compared to him every fucking time I play. Sorry.
And mate, weirdly, doing so well over here, we talked to Zach Mercer, another Englishman that's doing really well over in the south of France. And we talked to him about obviously international rules and regulations, England not picking anyone that's French-based or foreign-based. Like, do you agree with those rules? Would you want to try and kick it for England whilst playing in France? Or do you understand that you'd have to move back eventually if you wanted to play for international honours?
I do understand the ruling behind it, just because obviously they want to keep all their best players within that league to obviously for the spectators.
And to caveat my question, surely there has to be a further understanding with a lower salary cap, more players are going to have to move, like you, exactly. Like Zach.
Exactly that. And like, it's going to get to a point where a lot of the, shall we say, the big names are going to want to leave, like the Premiership, to go and sign for these clubs in Europe. But I think I kind of agree with the ruling in terms of like not allowing overseas players to play for England. But it would be good if they could obviously still select players overseas as well, because, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind.
We'll see what happens in the next few years, Johnny, but the rule has been tested a few times and they've stuck to it. It's likely to be tested more potentially in the coming years.
I think it has to be, but there has to be a tempered realization from the RFU that they can't drop the salary cap or enforce £5 million on clubs when the reality is that clubs over here are more than double that. And it's a fantastic league to play in, and players flourish in it because it is one of the toughest leagues to play in. So it's different for countries like Scotland, because we've got such a small player pool that we encourage the people that reach the top of the tree for salary reasons to move. But that also is going to be the same eventually for English clubs. If you can't cover the salaries of the top English players, they're going to have to go somewhere, but they are your top English players. And they shouldn't be punished because their success within England. They should be rewarded by being paid well and then also get the chance to play international rugby. But I understand you have to protect your product in the Premiership, but I think it goes both ways. There has to be a little bit of give and take. I'll be really interested to see as well what happens in the next two seasons in terms of transfers, who leaves England, who comes over here to join, because I think it's only going to go one way, and there will be more established players who can't get paid anymore in the Prem that want to do something different. Then are we going to see after the World Cup a cycle where the English squad essentially gets cut in half because they're all playing in France? Moving down the track, they're going to have to change something.
I think a lot of players probably post-World Cup will probably want to leave the Premiership to go and sign for these top 14 sides.
Especially having had played their pool games in France, in Toulouse, in Bordeaux. Like, oh, this could be nice.
Exactly. Bit of a change. Yeah.
And we mentioned, Joel, before, the issues that you had at Saracens. When you moved to Lyon, obviously you've spoken really positively about the culture there, but you did get injured in that game against La Rochelle, and it can be hard, can't it, as a professional sportsman to integrate. Well, it can be hard to get involved anyway when you're injured as an established squad member, but when you're a new guy, you get injured on your debut. How is that? How hard was that period being out?
Mate, honestly, I hate even thinking about it, to be honest, because it was like probably one of the hardest periods of my life, to especially with the injury itself, like having Skelts crocodile rolling me and landing on top of me, and my knee MCL going, syndesmosis going in my ankle. Ooh. I mean, it was pretty tough. Like it was the first couple of weeks were pretty dark. But I mean, I'm so thankful to the medical staff, because I can't speak highly of them. Like, they really, really helped in terms of like all my rehab, getting me back fit, and even the coaches as well, in terms of like doing some skills, Kenny, for example, doing some skills with me just to keep me in that rugby mind. But like, I felt, yeah, it was mentally draining, mentally tough, especially with me coming to a new club, trying to put my best foot forward, bang, 33rd minute it goes, and then I'm kind of made useless now because I'm just walking around on crutches and, yeah, not really much help to the squad, which is obviously what I tried coming over to do, and also to play rugby. Yeah, it was one way out. Yeah, it was mentally tough, mentally very, very tough.
You mentioned Kenny there, Kendrick Lynn. We'll ask you about him in a little second. But you talked at length about Pierre Mignoni, the fact that he brought you over, the fact that he showed faith, the fact that he saw something in you. It must be a little bit disappointing for you that he's heading to Toulon at the end of the season, again, with the relationship that you've already fostered.
Yeah, I was absolutely gutted, to be honest, when I heard, because because it was lingering around, like people were speaking about it. I was like, nah, surely not. He's literally just brought me over. He's brought all of these players here. He can't be leaving. And then bang, yeah, get a group, that's a message in the group chat saying, yeah, Pierre's leaving. But yeah, it's one of those where in sport, it's a business, isn't it? People come and go, but it's more now about me just hopefully winning a trophy for, well, winning a trophy for the club, but then also for him, because obviously he's transformed, like, for what the lads have been saying, they're speaking about, they speak so highly of him, like, for transforming the club from when he first came in. I'm not sure what the new coach is like, but, I mean, hopefully he likes what he's seeing with me, and hopefully he doesn't change too much, and I could just play my rugby and just train hard week in, week out, so...
It's going to be weird. I don't think so. Xavier Garbajosa coming in, he's already done this type of job where he got parachuted in at Montpellier and it really didn't go well at all. But I think effectively what's going to happen at Lyon is he's going to become a director of rugby, so more off-field. And it'll be Kenny Kendrick Lynn who steps up to become head coach. So for everyone that doesn't know Kenny, Kenny's a bit of a legend, really good man. Can you give us a little bit of insight into what he brings in terms of the coaching, the staff and the environment at Lyon?
First and foremost, like, he's great to the foreign players, because it's like in our meetings, for example, Pierre obviously speaks in French, and then you get Kenny translating for us, and that's what, like, for me, I know I understand French, but for those foreign players, like, it's incredible for them to have that translator in the meetings. But then within the coaching side of things, he's an incredible coach. Like, I can speak to him and ask him any questions, and he'll be straight up and honest and give me any feedback that I need. And yeah, he's different to what any other coaches I've had, because, like, in France, it's very, like, it's, the coaching is different, because it's like coaches are covering more than one role. You know how, like, in England, it's like you have a strong coach, a backs coach, a skills coach, defence coach, and all of that, so on. But, like, in, like, Lyon, it's like Kenny's kind of our, like, defence coach / attacks and backs coach, so all three of them. So yeah, fair play, he's got a lot on his shoulders, but his determination and his drive every day is just it's incredible. And he brings the best out of the players, really. And can't speak any more highly of him, to be honest. Like, he's been great, especially with me as well. In that period I was injured, like, taking me on and doing those little skills with me just to keep me intact. But then even the conversations away from rugby, like, he actually cares about the players that he's obviously coaches and that he's with all the time. Yeah, I've had countless conversations with Kenny, and there's some really in-depth ones as well. It's been good. Not just Kenny, but, like, all the coaches just have, like, they just care about you as an individual, really. Like, and they actually enjoy their job, shall we say. Like, they actually enjoy, like, speaking to their players. They're actually coaching you and trying to better you as a player. No, I love the coaches here. Like, I love everyone here. Like, they've all made me feel really, really welcome. Yeah, it's just a great place to be. So anyone wanting to come to Lyon, get in contact with Jan, the president. So.
Sign up.
And a quick word on the end of the top 14 season, because we've spoken about Europe. It's amazing to be in a first major final since 1933. But we speak about this top 14 playoff race, Johnny and I, every week. I mean, who can call it? Like, two games left. Yours couldn't be much tougher. Bordeaux away and La Rochelle at home. Yeah. But you're right in the mix, aren't you?
I mean, all our attention, because I know Pierre, our head coach, spoke about it yesterday. He was saying that it's going to be a load of stuff about us reaching the final and whatnot. Like, everyone's going to probably forget about us having the top 14 game and us actually going in for qualifications for the top six. But it's one where these last two games, everything counts up. We've got to take it week by week. We cannot really think about too long that following week. One thing what I love about this league is that any team could beat anyone. Like, it's no matter where you are on the table, like, it's literally all to play for at the moment. And, like, with Bordeaux especially, like, going to them as well away, with them not really having too great of a run at the moment, like, it's going to be a very fiery game. Very, very fiery game.
Mate, I'm looking forward to your game this weekend. Looking forward to playing La Rochelle, and really looking forward to watching you face off with Big Eben. So good luck over the next few weeks, mate.
I'm really looking forward to playing against him. Like, there's already been a season already on social media about it. But, I mean, he's a great player, but really looking forward to that physical encounter that he's going to bring to the game. But, I'll fix my own game on him as well. So not just him, on them.
And also, he's also leaving Toulon. He's going back home. Pierre's heading to Toulon. Like, you never know what might happen. It might be a gigs be done in a couple of years. Up, you never know. You never know. It's a big game. That's all I'm saying. It's a big game.
Yeah, it's a big, big game. Big, big game. But like, it still feels surreal that I've personally, within myself, reached the final, because I've reached finals with Saris, but that was for the A-League. Like, I've never played at this stage, shall we say, like a big, big game on a European stage where thousands and loads of people have obviously watching and whatnot. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of like a pinch me moment, especially also having got man of the match on the weekend. And to also be in the final now, it's like, it's incredible. Like, it's, yeah, I can't fucking wait. I can't wait.
Well, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your insight and experience. It's great to see you making the leap and doing so well over there. Hopefully the RFU either change the rules or we see you back in England at some point, but it's great to see you going so well in France.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's been
pleasure, an mate.
Cheers, Tim.
Pleasure. Cheers, all the best, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Great to have another Englishman on, doing so well in the top 14. And if we read the between the lines, or don't, it wasn't turning out well in Saracen. So it's great to see it going so well in Lyon.
Yeah. And like for so many people, me probably being a similar case, it doesn't always go well for you first time in the environment that you start off in. And I need a change clearly as much as he did. But I mean, he's way better than I was. The guy's absolutely flying. His game at the weekend, he was exceptional. But again, just really nice to chat with him, level-headed, smart boy. But again, phenomenal rugby player, and he's absolutely ripping it up. So he's got a massive career ahead of him in the top 14, probably for as long as he wants it. If not, if he wants to go back and dip into international rugby, which he probably is going to be very ready for fairly soon, then fair play to him. Either way, he's got a great career ahead of him and a terrific player.
You mentioned it. We're speaking in these terms. He's only had 3 starts for Lyon, so God knows what we'll be talking about in a few months' time.
The impression that he's made already is phenomenal. And again, that, like, on a personal note, what I've seen, really impressed, but wider French press, when you pick up Rugby Apps and Rugby Rama, the Rugby Paper, Midi Olympique, like, they're absolutely raving about him, because the blend of athleticism, the sort of belligerence he plays with, the way he affects things, the maul, the way he carries, tackles, jackals, like the physical elements of the game, but he's also got brains. He's a smart player. And again, maybe that is part of the teachings that he's had at Saracens, the environment he's come through and the players he's been around. But now, clearly with game time, able to demonstrate that he is a top rugby player and can do it in the top 14 against the best athletes in the world. So that was great to have him on. Great bloke, and great to see him do so well.
And quite honestly as well, you mentioned the traits he will have learned from being at Saracens, but he clearly wants to forge his own path, and he doesn't want to be compared to other England internationals, other Saracens second rows. Fair play.
No, really candid. I loved it. And normally you get sort of media trained crap answers, but the fact that he's just honest, he wants to carve out his own name. He's his own man. He's his own rugby player. He's over here making his own history, and fair play to him. He absolutely is. And that's it. If he keeps consistently knocking out those performances, like, the comparisons will be very different, because he'll be playing alongside him instead of Maratoji in England setup. He is that good, this boy. So no, fair play to him. He was outstanding.
Right, before we chat a bit more about the top 14 and some of the transfer gossip maybe in France, summer is coming, isn't it, Johnny? And we've got the listeners sorted with some beers.
We do, mate. Days brewing, and I need them here desperately. I've put in an order. It's 35 degrees. I'm dying. Everyone that's playing rugby is dying. You need something to quench your thirst. And these beers are amazing, and I absolutely love them. Tried them a fair bit back in the UK. Haven't ordered them yet in France, but looking forward to getting my first shipment, because they are quality.
Yep, we're sending a few to Joel in Lyon in the 35-degree heat.
You'll need them.
Days is a new breed of alcohol-free beer created for those who want to do more. Proudly brewed in Johnny's native Scotland using locally sourced ingredients, their beers are 0.0% ABV and low-calorie. And they're now a B Corp certified company, committing 2% of all sales to charities that empower fresh thinking towards mental health. Brewed for good times, good days, and good tomorrows, you can enjoy all the great moments associated with a cold beer, just without the side effects. And with over 700 five-star reviews, tastes great too. So just head to daysbrewing.com and use the code RugbyPass15 to get 15% off a case. Right, Johnny, we spoke about it last week. Carl Tuanukuafe, confirmed now to Montpellier.
Outstanding. And I think he'll be missed in Super Rugby and by the All Blacks, but really good addition for Montpellier. Liam Coltman also to Lyon, and Richard Barrington to Agen. So the transfer sort of, what do you call it?
Treadmill?
Not a treadmill. The knock-on effect, the domino effect, mate. That's what it is. You always hear, like, my agent would always say, Johnny, don't worry. Like, all like the first class back rowers are picked up, the domino effect kicks in, and then somewhere down the line, somebody will pick you up. That was how he explained it back in the day. The domino effect, and that's it, has started. And now you're going to see some serious movement. It'll be interesting. We touched on it again with Joel, but I think there'll be some Premiership boys moving over at some point. There's already a few rumours, but they've come from mates, so I'm not going to say them on here, that might be coming over. But it's exciting. Squad's starting to take shape for next season, but a lot of rugby still to be played, and that all kicks off again this weekend. But some big names in the pipeline to be coming over in the next 2 months.
Absolutely. We'll get those names out of you in the coming weeks. But this week, we touched on it with Joel. Leon are away to Bordeaux. That is huge, isn't it?
It is, mate, but they're all huge. That's the scary bit. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue how it's going to end up. I'll be working at Cast against Perpignan on Sunday, which is probably one of the easier ones to call. Cast with their last home game of the season. They're already third with 67 points, but that you look around, you've got Montpellier top 69, Bordeaux second 67, Racing fourth 66, then Lyon 63, Toulouse 62, La Rochelle 62, Toulon 59. And mate, any one of those teams with different permutations can finish in the top six. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. This weekend, you got Montpellier Racing. That'll be huge. Bordeaux-Lyon, again, for Lyon's ambitions to potentially finish with a home quarterfinal. La Rochelle-Stade Francais, you think that would fall in La Rochelle's favour. Toulon at home to Pau, so they logistically should climb up the table by beating Pau. Brive away to Toulouse, they'll be absolutely exhausted. Can they win away at Brive? No idea. And Biarritz, Clermont. Clermont down in ninth with 57 points, but win to beat away in Biarritz are dead and buried, and they can hop up to six. So, hey, it's mental, but that is the top 14. And as Joel said, everyone can beat everyone. That is the craziness of the last 2 weekends of top 14. So we're looking forward to watching this weekend and chatting about it next week.
Predictions can make us look daft, but Montpellier Racing.
Every week, mate.
Montpellier Racing and Bordeaux-Lyon are the two big games this weekend in terms of the playoff race and the teams playing against one another.
Yep.
So how do you see those games going? Because you've got Lyon on a high, obviously. And on the flip side, in the other one of those two games, you've got Racing coming off a low.
Yeah, but weirdly, Montpellier aren't looking good. Again, Montpellier, after getting thrashed by La Rochelle 2 weekends ago, Montpellier have lost some key personnel. Like Mohamed Wass is out, Kobus Reinach, Valemsi. It's not the same side and it doesn't look as dense physically. So Racing could go there and win. Again, this stage, every side is going to put out their first strength 23. Racing now have got nothing to lose. So you go to Montpellier looking for something. I'm going to tip Racing just to edge it, just because Montpellier bullied everyone, looked so strong, and now looking a little bit shaky. And Bordeaux-Lyon, again, Lyon on a high, but with, what, 6-day recovery? Bordeaux haven't played for 2 weeks, but have looked very poor in their past 3 or 4 fixtures. So if Jalibert's back on form, Cameron Walkie's back, are they going to win at home? Lyon exhausted with 2 big games still to go afterwards. I'm going to go Bordeaux to win this one at home.
We will see. Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks to Joel Kopoki for joining us. And thanks to all you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can as well. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Cheers, Tim. Bye.